During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We have lots to talk about with star columnist Vahid Gregorian. Originally, I was wanting to have Vahid on to talk about the article, the column he wrote about Michael Porter Jr. and the comments from a St. Louis radio station that Mizzou fans got all fired up about. So we'll talk about that. But then also Royals and Chiefs. Vahid can talk about all those topics. But then the controversy. We find out,
oh boy,
from Rustin Dodd on Twitter that there was a Kansas City Star Sports Department holiday party, and everyone was there except for Sam Ellinger. And then Jeff Rosen tweeted out that he looked at the guest list, and Sam Ellinger was not on the guest list for some reason. And then we found out that one of the nicest gentlemen in this business, Vahid Gregorian, was actually the host of this party. So we're just trying to smooth things over and find out exactly what happened. Vahid, good morning. How are you?
You know what? I'm getting my day off to a great start with this opportunity to have what does the FCC call it? Equal time with whatever wild accusations
that
might have been made on Monday morning. But also, then I felt tempted to say that here in Dancing in the Moonlight, it's kind of what we were doing without Sam.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, now, I like that. See, that, you know what? Own it. Own this.
Let's stoke this thing a little bit.
And some people, maybe it was a power move to remind Sam who the man is in Kansas City. I don't know. I can't speak for you, Vahid. So what? Who can we throw under the bus here?
Let me just say a couple quick things. I did have a bag of Cheetos here waiting for him in case he was able to come. And then long about Saturday morning, we had a discussion in the home about who had responded to the, to the invitations. And Cindy said she hadn't heard from Sam. So I texted Sam, and he said he hadn't gotten an invitation. And at that point, he was so furious. No, at that point, he already had plans, and I don't want to give anything away, but he did instruct me that it was time for the public feud to be on. Right. but, you know, believe me or not, it's up to you guys.
Well, the question is, which one of you two authored this quote? This town is big enough for just one columnist.
Well, I'm quite sure that we know which guy that you regularly have on your show might have said that.
So let's we appreciate you telling us the truth about this. So we continue to invest. Somehow, I'd like to put the blame on Rustin Dodd eventually. Yep. If we could somehow land there.
You'd like to think some of these things could stay in house when there's this kind of conflict,
right?
But actually, it was pretty funny to see Rust, especially because I think he cited sources in Florida.
Exactly. he was more than happy to spread that around Kansas City. So Vahid, we're going to talk about the Chiefs because that's the big story right now. But this week, you wrote a column about Michael Porter Jr. and had some great quotes from Konzo Martin in it as well. And this all started because of some comments that were made by a doctor on 590 Sports Radio in St. Louis, and you knew the doctor. And so for people that didn't hear these comments and didn't get a chance to read your column, if you would, and you called the doctor because you had a history with him, tell us exactly what's going on, because in your opinion, what's going on, because you know as well as I do, Missouri fans, any morsel of information about Michael Porter Jr. right now, they take it and they absolutely run with it. And you know what? I'm one of them. So let's hear what you have to say.
Yeah, and here's the problem. I mean, there's lots of little nuggets and morsels, but there's also kind of a shroud over a lot of it. And not to overstate the point, but I went last week to Columbia to talk to Barry Odom and Konzo and Jim Sterk for different stories. And I thought, well, I really want to just talk to Konzo about the precise moment they lost Michael Porter Jr. and how he's tried to deal with that and what he's going to do looking forward. And I kind of just held that in my little reserve for trying to pick the right time to use it. And then see these quotes from Rick Lehman the other day. He was on 590 Radio in St. Louis, and basically he said that his experience, he's an orthopedist in St. Louis, and not just anyone. I mean, he's been a team doctor for about 3 NHL teams. He's treated Olympic athletes, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods. I mean, he's been around a while, and I knew Rick from my 25 years in St. Louis a little bit. And here he is saying that in his professional experience that this injury is more a 6 to 8 week recovery than a 3 to 4 month recovery. And also tipping his cap in some way that he has extra information. I mean, he didn't elaborate, but he basically said this isn't just a guess on that radio show. So it was one of those times. You guys have been there. You're out of the Chiefs. Nothing really turned out to be going on that day. So I thought, well, I know Rick. I'll call him. And he got on and elaborated on most of this, but basically circles back to the same stuff he said. He seems to have some kind of connection to this. His professional observations from a distance are that this has been a 6 to 8 week type recovery thing that he believes most doctors will generally say a longer time just because they don't want to be wrong and have somebody hold him accountable for saying, well, you said it'd be 6 to 8 weeks and it's been 3 months. But the flip side, as our man Bill Self likes to say, is that he also is not trying to say that he knows what the family's inclined to do. And what if the family's decided that, it's a little too risky. We don't want him to play. You don't really know on any of that because that's where the whole buffer zone has been at this whole time. We don't have any access to Michael Porter Jr. or to his father. As far as I understand it, neither of them has spoken. None of the family has spoken on this publicly since this all happened. And I think from talking to people behind the scenes at Missouri and around Missouri, I think we have reason to think that there's not full communication between them and the Missouri staff. So it's a really weird dynamic. And that's something that, even if Dr. Lehman is spot on from afar, you can't account for that. You just don't quite know what it's going to add up to.
Okay, so you mentioned Bill Self. Which player, if at all, will we see in a game first? Billy Preston or Michael Porter Jr.?
That's a great question. Each one is its own set of variables that you can't pick through, right? Now, as I understand it from what I was just reading in my Kansas City Star this morning, that he seems to have optimism it's going to happen sometime in the near future. And if nothing else, that's a lot more tangible possibility than anything we're getting out of Missouri. So I guess I'd say Billy Preston.
You know, the thing is, though, I don't know, none of us know what's going on here, but Bill Self is one of the great salesmen to me, like in America. And he, and part of being a good salesman like that is he projects confidence. You know, he projects optimism. And so I think if you look at what he says, like he says, yeah, I'm optimistic. But then everything he says after that leaves like every scenario open. Well, the NCAA could come back and say, yep, he's good to go. The NCAA could come back and say, no, we need more information. Or the NCAA could come back and say, no, he can't play because he's ineligible. Like, like, I'm optimistic, but then here are the, like, that's, everything is literally still on the table, is it not?
100%, and you're right, and that's actually a perfect breakdown of how he does things. You know, this is not what you're asking about, but he is just a genius. I mean, he really is, and there's some element of that in X's and O's, but he's a psychological genius, and just always fascinating to be around. I mean, he's a guy who keeps you in a spell on these things, and you're right. You come out of it, you kind of hear all this, and you think you have a sense of it, and then when you break it down like you just did, Nate, you're like, well, I don't really know what's going to happen. So it's I think look, each of them are a roll of the dice right now. It is fascinating to picture this whole effect of Michael Porter Jr. too, though, on Missouri. I do think there's an element, and we'll see how good Missouri turns out to be, but I do think there's a little extra chip on the shoulder element of, like, this sensation that, oh, we were going to be nothing without this guy. You know, we'll show you. And they have enough injection of new talent with guys who I always thought were kind of good enough to be not the main guys, but really good supplemental guys. Like Kevin Puryear is a good example, or Jordan Barnett. If they don't have to be the guy, I think they're very effective. And so I think it's still a really exciting season for Missouri. I still think it's a NCAA tournament team, but no way to know. We haven't really seen them in, you know, obviously in conference play and how long, you know, that all that holds up for them.
And so far, I've loved everything that I've seen and heard from Konzo Martin. And so then I'll ask you, and like I said, this is all just a guess right now, but what's your gut tell you? Do you think we'll see Michael Porter Jr. playing in a Missouri uniform?
This is a completely made-up thought, but I think this. I don't think if it's late February, they bring him in for some kind of, like, you know, Willis Reed cameo, right? I mean, maybe they do. I would think if they think he's really healthy by mid to late January, right, which would be 8-10 weeks, I guess. November 21st roughly was the surgery, I think.
Right.
I think if he could be playing by late January, early February, we'd see him. And this isn't exactly what you're asking, Stephen, but I can't commit to a feeling that one way or another on this. I guess if I, you know, absolutely had to, I'd say I think there's a reasonable chance we'll see him. I really do.
And that's more than what most people thought after the news first came out. And so, and I'm
sure.
With you.
And listen, this is what's interesting about how the news came out too, right? That's all announced by Missouri. But I assume Missouri is announcing it in conjunction with the Porter family's wishes,
that's right?
That, or their doctor's expression of 3 to 4 months. And then days later, here's Michael with that Instagram post saying, whoever says it's going to be 3 to 4 months lied. Well, probably that came from information your family gave Missouri.
Right.
So that's what I mean when I say there's some kind of disconnect. It's a little weird. And I think also, by the way, just one quick thing about Konzo. He's absolutely right to, I think he's a guy who's great at being single-minded. And I do not believe Michael Porter Jr. in any way is a distraction for him right now, because he understands that any little, breaking that focus for him, it translates immediately to the team. He wants them right here in the precious present.
Okay, so we've discussed two topics that are very difficult to get a feel for as far as predicting what's going to happen. So let's do a third. What's your gut tell you about what's going to happen at Arrowhead tomorrow night?
I kind of feel like they're going to win, but it's absolutely more gut than anything else, because look, I mean, San Diego's a totally different team than when they played before, and Rivers has been on fire, and I do think that they're peaking, right? And we don't know what the Chiefs are. We see the Chiefs kind of just, peeking out from behind the curtain, right? Like they're back out a little bit, and you feel like that gives them some traction. But I don't know. I just think add up all the intangibles, and I think they've solved some things. What we don't know is if they can. I think it comes down to one thing: pressure on Phillip Rivers. If they can generate like they did in the first game, then great. If they can't, I think it could be a long day. And they've handled the Chargers more or less for a few years now, but I tend to think they'll still pull through.
I'll ask you this scenario that we've been having fun with today.
And I'll tell you this before you hear the question, I still have not been able to give a straight answer to this question from Nate. So, Vahe, maybe you'll help me decide here.
Which would give you more confidence? Alex Smith takes the field with 2 minutes, or let's say 3 minutes, 3 minutes to go at the 25-yard line, down 4, needing a touchdown to win. Or Phillip Rivers takes the field, down 4, and the Chiefs' defense needs to get a stop to finish the game. Which would give Chiefs fans more confidence?
Well, I guess you'd have to be more confident. You've got the lead, right? It's on the other one to make it happen. So I think I would take that scenario that Chiefs with the lead, and Phillip Rivers has to beat them. I would take that.
Now, what if it's a 2-point game? Alex Smith needs a field goal, or Phillip Rivers needs a field goal?
Boy, that changes it a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I guess I'll still stick with the same thing. I still think, you know, in the end, I mean, it's not good for the heart, right, for the fan to see the other guy with the ball. But neither scenario is. And I think no matter what, if you've got the lead, it still comes down to the other team having to make multiple plays to take it away. Of course, you have to make the plays to keep them from making it. But I'd still take that.
Vahe, this season has not been good for the heart, just to let you know. Okay, and this expands it a little bit because it's not just this game, because I feel like we've been arguing and people have been arguing about Alex Smith versus Phillip Rivers, wins versus stats, you know, everything else since Alex Smith has been here. What quarterback would you rather have in that game tomorrow night, a must-win game?
Boy, it's a great question, especially with Phillip's history, you know, kind of mixed history at best, right, against the Chiefs. Look, I think, and I'll get heat for this because people think that I'm too much in the Alex Smith camp as it is, but I take Alex Smith in this season. I wish he had one more receiver. I wish they still had Jeremy Maclin. I wish they had one more playmaker. By the way, I wrote something about Albert Wilson we'll run it in tomorrow's paper. I really do think he's emerged as a factor, not so much because he's a spectacular, but because he does so many little things right that free up the rest of the offense to work in ways that maybe we didn't appreciate when they went 0-3 without him. But I think you take out – I really only have a problem with two Alex Smith games this year, and there's a couple, three others that were not great, but – I think he had two games where I'm still kind of mystified about what was going on there. But I think by and large, he's been really good. And I think his fifth year in this offense, a lot of the pieces are working. If the other things work around him, that's the problem. He's not good enough to overcome mediocre play around him like some quarterbacks are. But he's certainly good enough to make the engine work if other things are working well enough.
All right, allow me to ask or to broach another subject that's completely up in the air, and we don't know how it's going to pan out. Will this city build a new airport?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. I tell you what, I so hated seeing that news last night. What? Yes, the city will build this airport, but is it going to be in 2030? I mean, am I still going to be able to fly by then? I'm 56. I'd like to be able to take advantage of that airport by then. So I guess it's going to happen, but I can't really understand how this broke down this way.
Vahe Gregorian is our guest. We'll throw some Royals in there too. Look,
any more vague and uncertain proposition?
No kidding. But you know what? I'm sitting there and keep refreshing my Twitter feed when the winter meeting is going on, trying to find out if the Royals are going to do anything. And then John Heyman tweets out that the Royals are listening on Duffy, and a lot of people are calling and they're interested, and that makes sense. A young left-handed starting pitcher with that kind of stuff that's under team control with a reasonable contract, why wouldn't you be interested? He's got some warts, but still plenty of teams will take a chance on Danny Duffy. And then you start to see the tweets from Danny Duffy.
Yeah.
And the Royals fans retweeting him, responding to him. And it just reminds you how much this city has fallen in love with those players, and some of the players fell in love with the city right back. If you're Dayton Moore, how difficult is it, do you think, not to get emotional and not to let these outside influences impact what you're trying to do for this baseball team? Because you can make an argument that it's a good thing to keep Danny Duffy, and maybe they're competitive by the time that contract still has a year left on it. But you could also sit here and say, look, if they're going to tear this thing down, they need to maximize the value of Danny Duffy and trade him now. Not an easy decision for Dayton Moore.
No, and to your point, first part of your point, Stephen, I think that, Dayton has a couple ways he's disciplined, right? For one, he's smart enough not to get on social media. I'm sure he gets things relayed to him. But two, we've all maybe had this conversation with him a little bit, and it started really talking about it during the Alex Gordon signing, which at that point was, you know, not likely to happen, and obviously it's been a mixed blessing. But, you know, a point he tried to make during that time was he does everything he can not to let a sense of try to take advantage of personal relationships or let personal relationships intrude on these decisions. Not to say that loyalty doesn't matter, not to say he doesn't love these guys, the very opposite, that he has to put that in different compartments, actually. I think we all know he loves Danny Duffy. And just Danny as an example. But I think, you know, if he has to, you know, ensure the future of the team, and he thinks that he can get the right value to help restock the farm system, maybe that's a decision he has to make. From where I sit and from where you guys sit, I'm ready to see the guys who are free agents go. You know, you brace yourself for that, but you sort of hope fixtures like Danny and Sal Perez, you know, you could count on them being here. And I really hope, you know, this is hard overhead for sure, but I really hope Danny doesn't go. I think Danny's so meaningful to the community. I think he's meaningful to the team. I think he's a ray of hope for whatever it is they think they're going to go through with, you know, whatever dismantling is going to be. I sure hope they feel the need to have some strong points that still are points of optimism. I hope they account for that in this decision. And, you know, we don't know the whole thing they have on the matrix, but I really hate to see him go. He of all these people, he's the one that would look the least right in another uniform.
Vahe, when we wrap this up, I just want to try to make you feel a little bit better. I don't know if this will or not. But you're listening to a man who once forgot to invite his own co-host to his wedding.
Yeah, well, so, you know, I'll get over it sometime in the next decade.
That was only 10 years ago, and right. It only comes up maybe 5 or 6 times a year now. Right. So, you know, at some point, Sam will get over this.
Well, I tell you what, the beautiful thing is that behind all this, the public strife, I know Sam loves me. So what could you say? And I love him.
You know what? That's all that matters. Yep. Hey, Vahe, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Happy holidays to you and your family, and hopefully we can talk to you again real soon.
Hey, anytime, guys. Real pleasure, as always, and look forward to seeing you guys around.
Thank you very much. That is Vahe Gregorian. Does a great job as a columnist for the Kansas City Star. Lots of topics there, and man, there's so many things just up in the air right
Dude.
Now. Like, I don't know what to answer about any of those questions because we're asking those questions. I'm thinking, well, what would I say? What's my opinion? Like, back and forth. I don't know what to think. And I have a gut feeling that the Chiefs are going to win on Saturday, but man, I could easily sit there and make a case of why they're not. And like you said earlier, that's what makes games like this so exciting and so interesting when you don't know and anything could happen. And then the fallout from this game could, like we said earlier, could end up with Alex Smith having a rematch in the playoffs against Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady, or the fallout from this game could end up with him holding a clipboard watching Pat Mahomes play the season finale against the Broncos. That's all on the table right now.
It could be anywhere from Alex Smith gets benched for Patrick Mahomes because the team's out of it, or to the other extreme of Patrick Mahomes gets to play the final game because the Chiefs have already clinched their playoff spot. I mean, like that's all on the table, too. That's crazy. If I had to predict one of those things, out of all the stuff we talked about, the thing that I feel the most confident in is that Michael Porter Jr. will play at some point for Missouri. I just think it's going to happen. And the reason I say that is because we've actually heard from him. He's actually posted something and he's got say. Like, Billy Preston has no say as to whether or not he plays. He's completely dependent upon what the NCAA is going to say to him, right? So, and we don't know what they're thinking. But, like, the Porter family has say into whether or not he plays. And we've heard from him. So I have more confidence that he'll play.
I don't have confidence in anything right now.
Well, I mean,
he's got to sit back and just let things play out. I don't.
With all this stuff.
Jake?
He's playing.
Who is he?
Michael Porter Jr. Isn't that, that's what you're talking about. I mean, right?
Is Billy playing?
I don't know. I feel less confident about that than I do Michael Porter.
Is Patrick playing? Because we're throwing all kinds of different people. And we...
Yeah, my first comment was towards Michael Porter Jr. I think he'll play. Billy Preston, I don't have a good feeling either way. I mean, it's...
Will we see Pat Mahomes take a snap before the end of the season?
We will. And I may be in Denver to watch it.
I'll punch you right in the stomach.
I'll gladly take a punch in the stomach.
I would like you to punch me in the mouth if that happens.
Really. Okay. I'll kick you in the mouth me in the stomach.
Because I'll be mad that it happened, and I want to be put out of my misery for an hour or two, or I'll be so excited I need to be calmed down. I don't know. It depends on what it is. Does it mean that the Chiefs have already wrapped up the division and the last game's meaningless, and so they're just going to start Pat Mahomes? Is that what you're talking about?
I think if he
Is he going to take a snap because the Chiefs have lost the division and they've just turned to Mahomes?
I don't think they're going to have it wrapped up. So I don't think he does take a snap this year.
Well, if they win on Saturday and then they win against the Dolphins, it's done. Because they'll have the season sweep over San Diego. And they have a one-game lead. It doesn't matter if San Diego ties them. So that if they win on Saturday night and then they win against the Dolphins, it's done, right? It's clinched.
Yeah.
Grenhard said if that happens. So that's the scenario. If they win the next two games, they're division champs and the last game has no impact. Mm-hmm. And Timmy said that if that happens, Mahomes starts.
But that's what they did with Chase Daniel, right?
But will they do that? Will they, if the offense is clicking and the offense is rolling in these next two games, do you sit Alex Smith or do you try to keep the thing going, the momentum going because you play the next week?
Let me ask you another question.
Now,
let me
ask you the question.
Let me ask you the question. I think that they would play Patrick Mahomes, but maybe they do what you said is about like the Steelers play him a half.
Right.
Maybe they play Alex Smith a half or a quarter or something. Here's another factor that could come into play here.
Let me ask you the question.
And I actually think Andy Reid could be a little bit like Ned Yost in this regard and care about this. Alex Smith is just under 500 yards away from his first ever 4,000-yard passing year. And could you see a situation where he throws for 200 yards over each of the next two games, and he's 100 yards away from the first ever 4,000-yard passing year of his career? Even if they got nothing to play for, I could see him putting Alex Smith out there and letting him try to get to 4,000 yards. Now, maybe that's crazy. Maybe Andy Reid would laugh in my face for suggesting that.
I wish he would.
But Ned Yost would. If Ned Yost was a football coach, he'd do it.
We know Greg Marshall would. Absolutely.
Well, he'd laugh in my face. And we know Ned Yost would laugh in my face. Right. But I mean, Ned Yost would actually like, because he puts guys out there for stats. He helps. He wants guys like he was going to play Jason Vargas at the end of the year to try to see if he could lead the league in wins.
Vargie,
you know, I wonder because and I go back to the fact that I think this does all still have an impact on Alex Smith's trade value. By the way, he's already set a career high for passing yards, only by 5 yards, but he's got three games to go. He's tied his career high for passing touchdowns, and the reason that stuff matters, I think, is because one of the things we always hear is we know what Alex Smith is. We know what he is. He's been in the league for 12 years. But if he puts up statistically by far the best year of his career, that changes a little bit. Well, maybe he is. Because to this point, everybody said, oh, he can't throw for 4,000 yards. Alex Smith can never throw for 4,000 yards. He's never been close to that. He's never thrown for over 3,500 yards. He can't throw for 4,000 yards.
This isn't about Alex Smith. This is about you being able to hold that over Jake. This is exactly what it's about.
Well, I think those are all honest questions.
But I think that's, and I'm being honest, I think this is more about you being able to have that over Jake. Because when you say that, people, you're saying
why
Jake.
Why keep looking at
you're
me?
You say Jake and said he don't would never do it.
Look, Jake's by
just
far.
Just say it, and then,
don't
and
look
then
at me.
You want that to happen. Because if he did, then that would come up in conversations on the air for the next 10 years.
Well, for sure.
The show.
Just like the fact that I once said the Kansas would be a bubble team comes up 10 years
right.
later.
But they, yeah.
When did you say that?
But that will, you, and 10, you know
8
it.
Years ago.
And so I don't want to hear this. I wonder how, you don't care about trade value. You care about you being able to use this against Jake in future
arguments. I absolutely
arguments.
Care about trade value. So, yeah. And I'm on the record. I want them to trade Alex Smith after the season's over. It's time to move on after this season. Even if somehow they win the Super Bowl, I want them to trade Alex Smith. And I'm not
what's in that Super Bowl. What's in that coffee cup over there you got? That... Five Farms Irish Cream? Five Farms. What do you got there?
What up?
Don't knock the Irish Cream. That Five Farms like is good stuff, man.
Yeah.
It is really good. Do you think that Andy Reid will factor that into his decision making? Let's say
I can't control anything today.
He goes to see a new Star Wars movie the next day. He's all over the place.
Yeah,
saying everything.
Do you think Andy Reid would
screw
factor
you,
that?
Jake? Is that what you said?
You guys aren't answering the question.
He's mad.
I'm telling jokes.
Joke time.
If he's 100 yards away from 4,000 yards,
I don't think he.
And
will.
They got nothing to play for.
I don't think that would impact Andy's decision. I think he would be more concerned
winning,
but also the momentum. And going out and having Alex Smith have a good half, because if they played good football, I mean, I don't know, but I would seem like if they were on a roll and they had played four good offensive games in a row, then you sit them, you'd be, you know, and then can you imagine that? Then the next week they come out rusty and they get, you know, you shouldn't have sat them. You killed all the momentum. I would say, Timmy says Mahomes will start. I would say if they clinch it against the Dolphins, Smith plays a half and then Mahomes gets a third and fourth quarter. And Andy Reid walks over to Pat Mahomes and goes, time's yours. Back after this on WHB.